Introduction. Toward the end of 1998, The Art of Happiness, A Handbook for Living was published, and to my complete surprise, the book rapidly gained widespread popularity. For some reason, the Dalai Lama's simple messages seemed to resonate in the hearts of millions of readers. The purpose of life is happiness. Happiness is determined more by the state of one's mind than by one's external conditions, circumstances, or events. At least once one's basic survival needs are met. Happiness can be achieved through the systematic training of our hearts and minds, through reshaping our attitudes and outlook. The key to happiness is in our own hands. The book's success had been as unexpected to the Dalai Lama as to myself. In fact, he had only been vaguely aware of the book's popularity when I met with him one afternoon, after the book had already been on the New York Times bestseller list for several months. As a Buddhist monk, the Dalai Lama was unconcerned with issues such as book sales. In fact, his monastic training strictly prohibits the pursuit of fame or money, so he had paid little attention as the book climbed bestseller lists around the world. When I informed him about the book's success, he seemed genuinely surprised. "Really?" he asked. I assured him it was true. As this was his first visit to the United States since publication of The Art of Happiness, and because of the book's high profile, I anticipated the possibility of questions by the media, so I thought I had better debrief him. After all, this was just one among dozens of books by him that had come out over the years. I had visions of him appearing on programs like Larry King Live, being asked about the book and his replying, "The Art of What?" This, in fact, did happen to a lesser degree when he appeared on that very program, and King asked him, "Why an art?" The Dalai Lama had no idea. The publisher had chosen the title. Since he had graciously left the final structure and editing of the book up to me, I asked him if he had any questions about the book. He had just one question. "Has the book been helpful for people?" he asked. "Oh, yes, absolutely," I assured him enthusiastically. For the first time, he seemed to take an interest. "In what way?" he asked with genuine curiosity. He caught me off guard on that one. I don't know," I stammered, shrugging my shoulders. Although the publisher had passed along many moving letters from readers describing how the book had helped them, at that moment I couldn't think of a single example. Finally, I mumbled some response. I don't remember what, feeling a bit like a college student bluffing my way through an oral exam. Later, however, I reflected on his question. It was impossible to really know the extent to which his ideas may have helped others, but I wondered if these ideas had had an impact on me. Clearly they had. After spending countless hours with him and 5 years crafting our first book, was I any happier? Yes, definitely, I thought, smiling to myself as I echoed his response to me many years earlier, after I had asked him if he was happy. Still, I felt that there must be more. While I felt that his ideas had helped me become a happier person, I still had a long way to go before achieving that kind of pervasive joy that he seemed to radiate so effortlessly, and I wanted to make that journey. So I found that there were still gaps and unanswered questions. I began wishing for an opportunity to sit down with him again, refine our previous discussions, add new twists and topics, deepen our discussion about leading a happy life in this complex world. And the questions were not mine alone. Since publication of our book, I had heard from many people, friends and strangers, pointing out missing pieces, voicing questions, spotting topics that were left out of our book. Along with these questions came numerous conversations that began with, "Hey Howard, if you ever have a chance to talk with the Dalai Lama again, could you please ask him about?" It wasn't long before the idea of a second book began to take shape.